I think one of the best things we ever did for our marriage was going to the Family Life Weekend Remember when we were engaged.
For sure. We didn't listen much because we thought we were perfect, but we got that manual out and we started leading a small group.
Yeah, we found out what God's game plan for marriage was, even though we didn't do it for a while. At least we knew. And I'm telling you what, for the last 35 plus years, we've now been speaking at the Weekend Remember. The same biblical amazing truths that we heard as an engaged couple, we're teaching now.
And we've heard story after story after story of marriages changed, legacies changed. It really is something every single marriage needs, whether your marriage is doing great or maybe you're struggling and you're like, man, we need a little pick-me-up.
And you may be like I was, like, I'm not going to a marriage conference. I'm telling you, this one's different. You're going to laugh. You're going to work on your marriage. You're going to hear couples on the stage talking about real stuff, the same kind of stuff you and your wife struggle with. And it's going to be life-changing.
And here's the best part. Today starts a half-off sale.
50% off. And again, if you're like me, you just said, what? I can get this for half price? Yes, you can. You can go to familylifetoday.com, click on the banner, and sign up right now. And guys, let me tell you, if your wife doesn't even know you're signing up,
oh,
let me tell you, yeah, it's going to go good for you tonight, and it's going to go good for you that weekend. So sign up at familylifetoday.com, get the 50% off. Or if you want, if you're a phone guy, just call us at 1-800-358-6329. That's 800, F as in family, L is in life, and the word today. I hope we see you there.
Half off your registration now through January 20th. You don't want to miss it.
I was getting so dysregulated because he's dysregulated and he is nippy and snippy and it's, help me with this cord and where's this? And I just, in a nanosecond, started griping at him about why he wasn't in the right lane with the GPS. The GPS is telling you something, but you just want to be you and do it the way you want to. And then we both just said, okay, let's both take a deep breath and stop.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Ann Wilson.
And I'm Dave Wilson, and you can find us at familylifetoday.com. This is Family Life Today. Okay, so it's always a good day when you have Ron and Ann Deal in the studio.
I love having them with us because we learn as much as anybody else, maybe more.
Many of you know Ron and Ann, but tell our listeners, of all the things you do at Family Life, which you direct our whole blended family ministry, but is there something that you love about doing that at Family Life? Because I've never asked you that question. Of all you speak, you write. Is there something that, of all the things you do, it brings life to you?
It does bring life to me to work with blended families specifically because nobody else is doing it. Like, we're stepping into a space that really needs the church and the word of God brought to it.
It started with youth ministry.
Yeah.
And wanting to help kids. That was the catalyst.
In many ways,
all.
I feel like that's what I'm still doing is helping kids
sure.
by helping their parents.
Sure.
But this latest project is sort of taking us all the way back to where we started. This new book is about marriage. It's got our testimony wrapped in the middle of it, but it's back to the kind of thing that I was doing 35 years ago before blended family specifically became an area of focus for
me. So this isn't a book necessarily just for blended families.
That's
this
right.
is a book for everybody. Mindful marriage.
Yeah. Life is imperfect for all of us. And that leaves a little residue on us.
Sure.
Emotionally, spiritually, even we now know neurologically. And those are things that we end up carrying into all of life. Whether it's marriage or a relationship with family, extended family, parents, as adults, our relationship with our parents, parenting our children, friendships, the body of Christ, you name it, the stuff in this book applies to all of it. We just happen to make the first application marriage.
Well, and we live in a fallen world. So whether you've brought it in from childhood into your marriage or other relationships, this broken world is going to cause pain. whether it's from childhood or like us, the loss of our son. That was a pain that didn't start back then, but it is a pain that we've had to navigate for 16 years. Everyone experiences pain sometime in their lives, whether it's from childhood or it's in marriage or just in this fallen world, unfortunately. And the enemy doesn't play fair.
Okay, so talk about your pain.
What we've learned is that really all of life for healthy relationships comes down to, do we feel loved? Can we give love? Do we feel lovable? And are we worthy of love? So love is sort of that fundamental thing that we must have. And the other thing that we must have is a sense of emotional safety in our world, in life, in relationships. So just think about that for a minute. Love and safety. The word I would use with safety is trust. If you can trust your spouse, for example, then you feel safe in the relationship. If you can't trust them, if they're keeping secrets or they've done something in the past that betrayed you, like, trust is broken and you don't feel safe. It doesn't matter if you think they love you at that point, you don't feel safe. You really need both of those things for your usness to be strong and stable. The concept of usness is the thing you created on your wedding day. Mm-hmm. It's the thing that was born on that day. Yes, you made a covenant. Yes, you have two people and you're trying to fulfill vows to one another. But there's now this third entity that exists, and we simply call it marriage. But usness sort of calls attention to the fact that there's this thing there that we now have to nurture, we have to support, we have to be intentional with. It's sort of like having a child. If you're not intentional, if you don't nurture, if you don't feed it, you don't care for it, that child's going to suffer. Your usness will suffer as well. And what feeds it is love and trustworthiness. That's what helps keep your usness strong and alive and thriving. Anytime you have a relationship where you are lacking one of those two things, or even momentarily, it's sort of called into question, all of a sudden the level of life of your usness begins to diminish a little bit. So all of us had imperfect parents and imperfect childhoods and life experiences and early relationships in life, whether those be dating relationships or maybe a first marriage for some people or what have you. And somewhere along the way, you begin to wonder, am I lovable? Because it only feels like I'm lovable when. Or am I safe? Because you seem to be angry at the drop of a hat, and I don't really know what I did or what. All of a sudden now, I'm calling into question who I am in this relationship with my parents. And that lingers. That little thing sticks in your brain, and you begin to figure out ways of coping with that question mark. And what's so incredibly amazing and to learn is that that doesn't leave us. Like, that's now a part of us. And we all carry it with us into our most important relationships.
And you asked us about our pain. I would say our pain is, mine is abandonment from childhood and family of origin issues. And Ron's is inadequacy. So when the abandonment and the inadequacy bump up together.
Oh, it's not pretty.
It's not pretty, and it doesn't do anything for our usness. Mm-hmm.
I think I would start saying, you know what the problem is? It's you-ness.
Oh, and that was the problem for 30-some years. And really, I brought in that abandonment going, mm-hmm. and not from a faith-based home,
right.
going, oh, you've got this amazing faith-based home. The Lord used you to bring me to Christ, so fix this. Mm. Take away all this abandonment. Oh, we're married now, and we're going to church, and okay, it's your job.
Okay, so this is what you do.
Yes, right. Oh, definitely after that. And so...
So let's just paint the picture real quickly. We were talking about this morning at breakfast.
We're
still having ahas into our usness. And
don't
our,
we
and
all?
Our
yes. Driving from the airport last night when we both got dysregulated, we were like,
stressed.
Oh, why
another
is...
word, dysregulated.
Yeah, we have a lot to define, don't we?
Sorry.
Okay, let's come back to that in just a second. Yeah. So here's a summary of our... narrative of our marriage. I came from a family that was very loving, never questioned that.
Very much so.
Strong spiritual family. We were taught, if anything, to be good examples for other people who needed to see Jesus. And so somewhere in there, I figured out, you know what? When I perform well as a child, when I keep the rules, obey mom and dad, do what they say, and then kind of win their favor and applause by being a good athlete and excelling on the field and all that kind of stuff, then I'm somebody special. So my specialness came from performance. But what I didn't realize for 40 years was that specialness drove me to excel and perform in ways to get the applause of other people, that became my God, my idol, if you will. When Nan and I got together, my major source of, and still is, of approval is her, not God. Like, that's wrong on the outset. But I didn't realize that that's really what I was trying to win, was her favor and her happiness. So I chased that. Well, guess what? On her end of life was being abandoned by her parents emotionally, supportive-wise, had very little nurture. And so here I come, and I'm all about her, which makes her feel special and loved. And it met that need, if you will, sort of met it. That we'll come back to that, because we never really meet the needs. At first, it appeared. It appeared. Yes. That appeared. That's exactly the way to say it. We were all about each other and life was going great. And then my performance extended to, well, now I'm a professional and I got to work and I have responsibilities. And so I'm going to excel in those spaces. And that was to the demise of our usness. It was, again, I'm chasing the next best thing to help me feel like I'm lovable and safe. See how that's driving me? And I have no awareness of that whatsoever. But when I start chasing those things, that's moving me away from her, which taps all into that abandonment stuff for her. Now she feels abandoned. We go on with life. Eventually, that hits a wall because it all comes to a head. She's looking to me to fulfill her abandonment. I'm looking to her to fulfill my need for, am I adequate or am I a failure? And then our son dies. And, well, you can talk about feeling abandoned by God.
Oh, for sure. You know, there's six attachment styles that a child should get, and there were none. I think my dad tried to do one of those later in life, which was very helpful, like make amends and come back around. But when you don't have those, you're already empty. Honestly, I wasn't tapping into God and letting him be my first and foremost. Ron was my idol. Fix this, fill this need, take away the abandonment. And then we get into marriage and I'm feeling abandoned because you're over here seeking all these other things. And it looks like I'm not enough because you're chasing all of that, which left me so feeling abandoned. Mm-hmm. And then I was good at being a mom. That kind of filled that void in a lot of areas. And then our son passes away and it was like the straw that broke the camel's back for me. I'm abandoned here. My family has never wanted me, never felt like, and told we shouldn't have ever had you. Not feeling like I'm loved or cherished in my marriage. You're going after all these other things. And here, God, I am at the bottom. I'm bottoming out moment. The worst thing that could happen. And where are you? And for years, I was taking things on myself to defend my heart. With Ron, it was, I'm going to either try to control this narrative or talk this to death or be very angry at you or try to get you to see why this is so wrong, what you're doing, why you're always constantly chasing things.
Which, remember, my whole thing is about adequacy. So that criticism and anger says what? You're inadequate.
So here I am. You did what?
Well, there's four major ways that we all respond with lack of love or lack of safety: blame, shame, control, or escape.
Hey, by the way, we took your assessment.
Yeah.
So we know which one of these we are.
Yeah.
And I want to tell our listeners right here. I mean, they're listening and going, what did you just say? There's four ways I cope. You can find these right at familylife.com/mindfulmarriage. Your assessment's there. We did it.
And you're going to learn how you respond to feeling unsafe or unloved in moments of your key relationships.
Yeah.
And it's very eye-opening.
Oh, yeah.
So what I do, and we outline our whole story, is just laid out in the Mindful Marriage book. What I do is I do blame and I do control. Control has various forms. They all have different aspects of them too. Performance is the control performance thing. So do, excel, exceed. That's my MO. So if I'm behind the eight ball with Nan, I'm going to try to perform my way back into good graces. Okay. The other one is blame. So I figure out a way to make this about her. It can't be about me. It's got to be about her. So I figure out the little nuance, the one little piece of the story that you got wrong. I'm trying to help you see you got the narrative incorrect. And so if you understand it correctly, then you're not going to be disapproving of me. And all of a sudden, I'm going to have safety back. So notice the themes here. When I feel unloved or unsafe, I take action to try to get that back. I'm actually trying to get you to come back to me. I'm trying for our usness to be strong again. But all I end up doing is making it worse, because in my blaming posture or in my controlling posture, I'm unavailable to her. Her abandonment gets activated, and now she's feeling worse, not better. So we just sort of escalate ourselves into the worst places of who we are. Dysregulation.
Those first three I did for years until our son passed away. And then I did
first three being...
the blame. Mm-hmm. I'm going to blame Ron for all of this. It's not my fault. It's you because of the overworking and this. I'm going to shame myself. Why am I not worthy? So then when he would blame me and I'm blaming myself.
Boom.
That's tough. So blame, shame, control. I'm going to control this narrative with words and tell you how wrong this is, or I will just stop doing that and control what I'm doing. Find something that I can be good at or what have you. And then the escape. And escape for a long time was just withdrawing from the situation.
Instead of emotionally unhooking. Yes, a lot of us unhooking. Do that at different times.
But I escaped into numbing behaviors after Connor passed away, you know, for a decade. And that can be anything. That can be TV for hours and hours of binging. That can be shopping. That can be Amazon. Oh my goodness.
Food.
Mm-hmm. Why do I feel when he shames me, man, a glass of wine sounds really good right now.
Yeah.
It might take the edge off.
Right.
And honestly, when I am in the depths of a deep pain, it really, the lie of the enemy, it really was the thing that...
It worked because you did escape.
Yeah.
Yeah. And most people can escape into something.
Sure. Sure.
Blame, shame, control, escape are breadcrumbs. When you go, okay, anger, that's a... blame tactic. I can just turn around and make this about you and get all large in the room. And that anger is intimidating. And I now control the situation. Somehow I'm trying to get our usness back by doing that, which is just stupid when you say it out loud. It's not going to work, but I'm chasing something. Escape. Oddly enough, I escape into porn, addiction, behavior, shopping, food, whatever it is. I'm running away from something. The question we got to ask ourselves is, why am I doing that? What is that? I'm running from what? Hmm. Well, I'm escaping away from the pain of not feeling loved or feeling like I'm emotionally safe in this relationship. Most of us never trace the breadcrumbs. Back to what's going on with me. We just keep it external about you, the you-ness, as you said. Mm-hmm. We stop focusing on what's going on with me and we instead focus on the other person and what they're not doing that makes us feel unloved. We have got to learn the discipline of looking in the mirror.
I'm thinking a lot of couples are resonating, whether it's backwards or ours is very similar. I'm out there chasing the world, not even knowing I'm feeling inadequate and proving
myself.
Every
person listening to us right now or watching this video gets dysregulated a few times a day.
What's dysregulated?
Too many times a day.
Define that one.
We get unsettled about who we are. We get unsettled about our relationship. We get anxious about it. We get concerned that it's not going well. And here's what's crazy about it. Like, we've been married 39 years as of this broadcast. And we can be having a wonderful day. Oh, let's do last night. We're driving from the airport to the hotel.
Let's go back there.
This is media. Like, we're getting in the car. We've been traveling a lot. We're dead dog tired. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to plug in my phone to the car so I can get the GPS to get us to the hotel. This has nothing to do with Nan. But all of a sudden, I'm frustrated and I'm putting cords plugged in and I'm... So I'm dysregulated because of the stress of the moment. And then... my dysregulation taps her dysregulation. And now we're backbiting one another. Now we're nipping at one another. And our estus goes from a 10 to a 2.
So what did you do last night? I mean, did you get out of it quickly?
Yes.
Quicker than we used to.
It used to take a couple of weeks. Something like that would escalate. It wouldn't just be small. It would escalate, then she'd do, and I'd do, and we'd do.
And then forever.
We'd spend two weeks. Yeah. Before we could unpack it, we would unpack it, and we would sort of forgive, but we didn't know why we did it in the first place. We now know why. When I got dysregulated, I'm like, okay, I'm off. I know that about myself. What do I need to do? I need to take a couple of deep breaths. I need to settle my heart. Literally, my brain is neurologically dysregulated, and I need to activate my new self in Christ. Yeah. So take a couple of deep breaths, get a hold of yourself, slow it down. Now I can sort of chuckle, and I'm beginning to do that reflection out loud, and Nan's seeing that I'm getting a hold of myself. And if Ron gets a hold of himself, she doesn't have to fix me because Ron's fixing me. Mm-hmm. See that, how that changes that dynamic?
I was getting so dysregulated because he's dysregulated and he is nippy and snippy and it's, help me with this cord and where's this? And I'm like, I should not have picked that up. I should have stayed in my lane and said, okay, this is about Ron right now. He is tired. He's frustrated. He just wants to get us to the hotel. But I took on that shame of, I'm not good enough. I can't do this fast enough for him. He needs the control. He's a perfectionist. And I just, in my mind, started going down all of those archaeological digs of, you always do this. You've been doing this forever. You just try and run around. I mean, I just, in a nanosecond, went there and started griping at him about why he wasn't in the right lane with the GPS. The GPS is telling you something, but you just want to be you and do it the way you want to. And then we both just said, okay, let's both take a deep breath and stop. And I had a choice in that I could have stayed in my lane and said, okay, Lord, this is about him, not me. I know where my identity is. And I just need to be patient, but I just went down the road with you, correct?
So, yes, that's correct. And
that's
let me
what
just
we did.
Point out, you see the compassion in that posture that she can get to now within a minute. And that compassion is about Ron's in pain. What's going on with Ron? I need to let go of trying to fix his pain because he's a mess right now. But she can see me for what I am and who I am in that moment, not what I'm not doing for her.
And that's God's eyes. That's God's identity. That's the thing I love so much about mindful marriage. It is our mind being set on what our identity is in God and in Christ. It's not about Nan doing this, because in my own way, I'm not ever going to do this. I'll go to shame, blame, control. I'll go to numbing. I'll go to the escape. But with the Lord's help and knowing what my identity is and being grounded and rooted in him, then that upside down economy that he has, I can see that. And I can see Ron in that. I can see myself in that. There's grace there. There's mercy. There's trust. There's a peace. And I really never had that before. I have a peace now because, and it's not my peace, and it's not what Ron's doing differently. It's that God is my peace.
Well, I mean, hearing you tell this story, it's like you've been on a journey, which you've written about.
Yes.
And the listener's going, I want to go on that journey.
Yeah, because we all are in it.
Yeah, so tomorrow we got to talk about how'd you get to where you are? Because that little illustration last night in the car, for most couples, can't happen. They can't snap out of the dysregulation, right?
And we couldn't for 25 years of our marriage. We didn't know either. But we started a journey 17 years ago with our therapist that has culminated in this project. And we're still on the journey.
And it's never too early to start, and it's never too late.
Never
to start.
Too late.
Well, the good thing is we would love to send you a copy of The Mindful Marriage. And any donation financially to Family Life, we will send you Ron and Ann's book, and you're going to love that. You can give us a call to get that at 1-800-358-6329. That's 800, F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. Or you can go to familylifetoday.com. You can make your donation there. And again, we'll send you the book for any amount of donation. And you can take the marriage assessment, which you're going to love to do. It's literally going to change your marriage. So do that today.
Family Life Today is a donor-supported production of Family Life, a Crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.